everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, I have another great program for you today. It's all about how to build a strong relationship with your community. Now, studies show that volunteering in your community builds healthy communities, but it also teaches people of all ages and backgrounds compassion and understanding. The key is to find something that you're passionate about or that motivates you, and then identify how you can get involved at a community level. Now, my guest today is Greg Martin, founder and director of DRAW, Disaster Relief at Work. DRAW is a nonprofit organization that's dedicated to providing relief to communities around the U.S. that have been hit by natural disasters like floods, hurricanes, and tornadoes. For example, DRAW organized over 1,000 volunteers to give away over $150,000 worth of clean water during the 2016 Flint water crisis. Now, Greg is very passionate about his work and DRAW, which is housed here in Michigan, but helps people across the United States. But Greg is also a good friend. He does stand-up comedy. He's an Uber driver. He officiates weddings, and he recently got married himself. I've also had Greg present to students at Oakland University, where I'm a professor, and he's always a hit. His website is greg-martin.org and drawbuckets.org. So welcome to the program, Greg. Great to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me. It's tit for tat. It was 2 days ago you were on my podcast, so hopefully I'm as good here as you were on my show.
Oh, you will be, Greg. I know it. And I had such a good time on your podcast show as well. So much fun. 2 times in 1 week, we're talking to one another.
It's like we're friends.
Now, Greg, you're doing so many things, as I said, different things. How do you handle and manage, you know, officiating, stand-up comedy, Uber driving, DRAW? How do you do it all?
Well, I think I had to learn recently in the last couple of years. I grew up with I have two parents and then a sister, and all three of them became teachers. And there was this understanding that you went to school to get a career, a thing that you did. And it's not until recently that I've kind of shucked that thought that a career needs to be a one path, one thing you do, and it's what defines you. And I'm Greg Martin, and I'm a blank. Well, I'm passionate about a lot of things, and because of the nature of my full-time job, which is being the director of DRAW, there is some flexibility with everything else. So I do my best to get involved in all the things that I care about because, you know, I'm complex just like everybody else, and I care about a lot of different things. So I can drive Uber and learn people's stories. I'm ordained, so if someone needs an officiant for a wedding, I love being a part of, like, the biggest moment of their life. It's really an honor for me. Same with the band. I'm with a wedding band, and so we will perform, and that's a big thing. And then even with the podcast, the DRAWcast, being able to hear other people's stories of inspiration and how they grew, it's just a matter of finding the things I care about, and then you make time for them. It's not a matter of, like, how do I find time for these things? It's like, find the things you care about, and the time will happen, you know. And then the same with relationships. Yeah,
I love it. I love it, Greg. And, you know, I'm constantly telling students as well, why do you have to choose one thing, right? If we're motivated and we're passionate about a lot of different things, can't we do them all? And then it doesn't become work in a way. It's our life is basically what you're saying.
Well, and what I like to say is we're all born with a tool belt. You know, we've got this ability to be able to add skills. And so it's not just like I do a bunch of things and then hopefully they're okay. It's like over time, you know, I pick up the ability to run sound. I pick up the ability to officiate a wedding. And, you know, then I get certified with Uber. Like, you add these things to your tool belt, and when the time comes, you can use them to better other people's lives. Yeah. And so it's not just about doing the stuff. It's about learning the skills so that you can do the stuff.
Right. I like that. What a good metaphor. A toolbox, is that what you said, or a tool belt?
I think of a tool belt because I'm more of a Batman guy. I like to have it all right at my disposal there.
And I think of a box, okay?
Okay, yeah, you think
like
of a box.
Case that you're carrying with you. So let's talk about Draw, though. What inspired you or motivated you to start a nonprofit organization called Draw?
Well, I can tell you that there was the biggest tornado outbreak in the United States in 86 years, back 7 years ago, 2011. And it went through Alabama, Mississippi, and when that happened, 236 people died, and multiple communities were destroyed. And I just kept seeing it on the news. Every time I'd log on to the internet, everywhere had images and videos, and I just had this overwhelming sense of, we should do something.
Right.
And so I texted 100 friends. I said, let's see if we can go volunteer. I'd never done anything like that in my life in terms of like relief work after a major disaster. But we went 4 days after, and we started to help people search through the rubble to find things that were valuable to them or provide supplies that they needed in the moment. We patched some roofs of homes that weren't destroyed but were damaged. And I will tell you, that moment, I never had such a made such a tangible difference in other people's lives than I did at that moment. And I was hooked, and I started responding as a volunteer. And within 8 months, I was like, this is what I have to do with my life. So long story longer, other people around me said, well, let's see if we can create our own thing and fill a niche and a need that exists in disaster relief. And Draw was born a year later in May of 2012.
Wow, I got chills on my arms as you were telling that story, Greg, because I can just hear in your voice the difference that you made for those people in 2011. And I can imagine, you know, going through the rubble, helping people who are just devastated with their lives, their memories, their position, their possessions, everything. And so making such a difference. Now, and Draw, I mean, you're more organized when you go to these natural disasters, correct? So what do you do exactly with Draw?
So we have a warehouse here in Michigan, and we have a couple locations where we have outdoor storage and indoor storage, but all of the supplies that we try to provide are supplies that maybe other organizations don't focus as much on. That's how we fill the niche. You know, there are a lot of organizations that will send food or building materials, but there's that in-between time where people need bathroom supplies, cleaning supplies, stuff like garbage bags, what we call valuable salvaging supplies, where you're going through and trying to find pictures you might have lost or jewelry that's been snowed under or whatever it is. And so we assemble these supplies into buckets, and they're all customized buckets for different disasters. So we have a roof patching bucket. We have a post-flood cleaning bucket. And so at the warehouse, we are constantly having volunteers helping us take donations and turning them into kits that are in buckets. And then we'll go down and I'll assess the damage, or somebody from our operations team will assess the damage. And we decide, okay, do we bring 150 buckets? Do we need a team of 20 people? What is it that we need? And we quickly, with our network, put that together, and we go down and we try to help in the immediate aftermath.
That is so wonderful. And what do you hear from the people that you help then? What are some of the stories or the testimonials that you hear?
Well, it's always desperation in that immediate moment. You know, we've responded to, it's been 6 years, we've responded to 46 natural disasters in the U.S. in that 6 years. And in the moment, it's always kind of desperation and confusion. Because, I mean, they lost the geographical lottery. You know, it's one of these storms hits. It's like, well, what do you do? And so they're just scrambling, trying to figure out how to make it to the next day and where am I going to stay. What we find after is that people... We've gotten, especially last year after Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Harvey, we got a lot of responses after about a month or two after, where people would email us or send us letters thanking us, thanking our groups, because it's not just that our groups are there to do work, but we also tell them, you're there to be a shoulder you're there to be a listening ear. If you're carrying out wet carpet of a flooded house, if someone wants to tell you their story, stop what you're doing and listen to the story.
Absolutely. I mean, it's then and there that they need you.
Yes. Yes. So it's very rewarding. And for me, I mean, it's new every time. And so it's really what drives me. But then for volunteers who go for the first time, they get to a volunteer, each one gets passionate about this. And I kind of want to be like, I was there. I remember when I had my first moment. Now you're like, I'm watching them have the moment I had in Alabama in 2011. It's really a cool process to be able to help our neighbors.
Yeah, absolutely. What a difference you're making, you know, going and helping these people at such a time that I can't even imagine how it feels, you know, my life, my everything, right? Yep. So you're making such a difference. So how do you get volunteers then to help you at Draw? What do you tell people about why they should volunteer with Draw or even in their community?
Well, what we try to do is give them stories of how our organization and how what we do makes a difference. And then we try to show them how their volunteer time makes that happen. And so there are people who will volunteer and go after a disaster, but the majority of our volunteers volunteer in our warehouse or in our outdoor facility, where we're either assembling buckets or preparing our equipment or whatever falls in line there. So the majority of our volunteers are there assembling buckets or helping with inventory. We get them through schools, through businesses, through religious organizations, through community partners. A lot of times, I would say 80% of our volunteers come to there. Now, we do also get volunteers who see us on the news or read about us on social media, and they reach out to us and we'll help. But that's where they come from. And then hopefully they stick because they realize that whatever it is that they're doing, they're making the magic happen. You know, the behind the scenes stuff that maybe isn't the picture in the middle of the field. It's still just as important as the people who go.
Right. Right. Now, let's talk, Greg, about volunteering in general. Now, you know, this program is heard by listeners across the country. So if someone's listening right now and they're getting excited about what you're saying about making a difference in their community and they want to get involved or volunteer, how would you suggest they start? How could they get involved at the community level?
Well, I can tell you with Draw, they can obviously just reach out to us via our Facebook page or on our website, drawbuckets.org. But more than that, I would take stock in two things. One, what is it that gets your blood going? You know, do you care about impoverished communities here in Michigan? Do you care about people that are struggling with illnesses? You know, identify the thing that really gets your blood going. And then secondly, identify the time in your schedule. Because you have to be intentional about the time that you volunteer. Volunteering doesn't just happen. You have to say, okay, on Fridays from 2 to 6, I have an opening. I'm going to see what areas that I'm passionate about match up with that time, and maybe there's a local hospital where I could put time in, or maybe there's a local shelter where I can help out with some back end, or even sell, or it's not sell, but, you know, you serve dinners at places close by. But you have to match your passion with your schedule and be intentional, because there's stuff that I've always wanted to do. And until I set aside and like made it a priority, it doesn't just happen. I have to make it happen.
Right. I like those two suggestions. So first you have to figure out what you're really passionate about, what motivates you, like you said, what gets your blood going. And then you have to identify the specific time, because you need to put in some chunk of your schedule. So let me ask you a question about the first one then, Greg. So how did you find out what you were passionate about? Any suggestions or hints about how does one really find what you're passionate about?
Well, life is different now because people find out about things much more from social media than they used to. You know, you can read about one of the things that I've never personally interacted with that always got me was the refugee crisis, specifically from Syria. And there's a common theme with the things that get me going, which is it's people who didn't choose where they live, but they are in terrible circumstances because of where they live. You know, with our organization, that has to do with severe weather, but with people in Syria, it's a war-torn nation, a civil war, and they're just fleeing for their lives. I've never been to Syria. I've never volunteered with any type of refugee organization, but my wife and I, we do support the International Rescue Committee, which is an organization that, serves refugees that are fleeing and trying to figure out where they're going to go next. And so I became passionate about that by just through reading and seeing reports. So I would say it's easy to shut off the news because it can be a lot of bad news. You know, like I don't know if you ever turn on the evening news. My wife and I rarely do it. And every once in a while.
I don't either.
That's a bad story. Oh, that's a bad story. You're just like, oh, I just don't feel great after this. But if you let your heart be broken, if you allow yourself to hear the pain of other people, that kind of is what got me going. But then the second part is that it's not just the news. Sometimes if you can just put yourself in the path of it. So I don't know if I'm passionate about people in impoverished communities, but I'm going to go volunteer this one time and see, and maybe it's really going to get me going. Or maybe I'm going to go and I'm going to think, well, that's great, but that's for somebody else. That's not going to do it for me. And so really you just have to be open to putting yourself in front of a story and see if it really strikes a chord with you, whether it's reading or keeping up with, or, you know, physically being there at the shelter or physically being there at the hospital. I guarantee you do that two or three times pretty quickly, you're going to find a story or a cause that's really going to grab you.
Right. So putting yourself in front of a story, whether that be through social media or reading, or I even tell students at the university who are looking to volunteer that, you know, look on a community event list, you know, either on, you know, social media or Facebook or in the newspaper or at your university or library. There are events happening where organizations come and talk about what's going on, either in a community, in the world, in the United States. And so you can listen to someone who's already involved, just like we're listening to you, and finding out why it's so important to help people, you know, who are experiencing national disasters or natural disasters. Or if you go to the library, you might hear someone else talking.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And there's no shortage of causes that have needs, and they're all around us. And if you just open yourself up to what could be around you, you're going to find it pretty quickly, whether that's going or seeing, you know, reading or whatever it is, because it's really simple to cocoon up. You know, once you get your routine and your life that's put together, it's really easy to just tune out everything else and just stick with what you know. But once you open yourself up, you might find something about yourself that you didn't even realize that, oh, I am passionate about, you know, childhood obesity or fill in the blank.
Right. Absolutely. And what do you see as the benefits to volunteering in a community or community service? I mean, what do your volunteers tell you when they volunteer at DRAR? What are the basic benefits?
Well, there's a feel-good aspect to it, of course. Now, you don't do it just so you can feel good. Obviously, that's a weird version of altruism. Like, hey, I'm going to go help so I can feel good. But that is a byproduct of it. You do walk away going, hey, I did make a difference. I did do something that matters for somebody else. There's the connection with the person that you're serving. So you may go and serve and make a connection with someone who has needs and realize, hey, I have more power than I realize to help other people. Some people think, hey, I can't do anything. I'm just a regular schmo who does my 9-to-5 and I have this or that. But you may find that you have power. And then when you find that out, now you're empowered to do something the next time. Like, hey, I can do something, as opposed to like, I don't even know, you know, like you get a little sheepish.
Right.
And so I think that's a byproduct is you do it once, all of a sudden you're empowered to do it. And the third one, which I think you're going to love, is that, and this is a personal experience. I've been married for 1 year this Sunday, our first year anniversary.
Wow. Happy anniversary. I did not know that, Greg.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
Exciting, very exciting. But I can tell you in our marriage that when we have a common cause, that we care about that's outside of ourselves. Like, obviously, you got, you know, jobs around the house, inside, outside. You got your own personal planning and finances and all the stuff that goes into being partners and being married and keeping romance alive and all that. However, when we focus together on things that are outside of us with people that have needs, it brings us together in ways that nothing else could. My wife is never sexier than when she's volunteering to try to make somebody else's life better. And I think she would say the same about me.
And, you know, it's so interesting. I do love that, obviously, being the relationship person and the love doctor. I love that, Greg. Not only do I talk about that with couples as finding a passion together, which is exciting and can get you out of the rut that I always talk about in relationships over time. And it draws you together, gives you a common goal and common values. But even if you're single, it's a great way to put perspective in your life, to open up yourself to new people and new activities. And when we do that to ourselves, when we get out of ourselves, like you said, we find so many positive benefits, both for our relationship and ourselves as individuals.
That's right. I think when people that are single that are doing it, and I think people married, this is both and, but I think it's a particular benefit to people that are single. It gives you perspective that I'm more than just my relationship status. You know, I that's just one box on many things. And you and I have known each other a while. I've been single for a long time. I mean, I said we're at a one-year anniversary. When I really got passionate about serving, I cared a lot less about dating or what a potential date might mean, because I was very self-assured in the other aspects of my life and the things that I cared about. I was defined by that rather than defined by who I might find or how the date might go. I think that's a particular benefit, because the more self-assured you are, the more empowered you are, the better you are in the better version of you that you are, and then you're helping the world as well.
Absolutely. And when you know yourself, I always say, and when you know what you need and want, because you are self-assured, like you said, more confident, you're much more likely to meet the one or the other person who is best for you, who's going to lead to a happy, healthy relationship. Because if we don't know our needs and wants, we can't expect someone else to.
Right, right.
So how did you meet Michelle, by the way? Tell us that story briefly.
Well, it was a magical thing. A little tool we like to call match.com.
I didn't know that. I forgot that, or I didn't know that.
So the story goes that we met at connected on match.com. We went on a first date. Our first date was a Sunday brunch, and I liked her immediately. You find when you date that a lot of times, especially I think now more than in the past, it's very easy for people to be tough to nail down. You know, because they're not sure. You know, hey, I don't know if I really want to be invested in this, but they don't know that they don't want to be invested. And so you get some uncertainty from both sides, you know, from me and from the other side. And so when you find someone who's sure of themselves and sure of what they want, and like it's very attractive, because you're like, oh, gosh, that's so much lower maintenance and low stress. So I go out with Michelle, and my impression with her was that she had her act together. She's very attractive to me in many ways. We get done with the date, and we have text conversations for a couple days. And by that Tuesday, she responded back and said, hey, I'm going on a trip in 6 weeks to China. She is for work, and she's leaving this weekend. She said, so I got to be honest, I'm not really, I don't know that there's a connection worth pursuing here. So I don't want to lead you on. And she just kind of laid it out like, hey, I don't think this is going to be a thing. And it made me like her on a personal level more. Like, that is really stand up of her to just, you know, to not lead someone on, you know, and not to like leave the other person hanging. And so we didn't talk for 5 months.
Wow.
She'd gone out, because I was like, well, she's not interested. I'm not going to be the creep that keeps pushing when the other person's not interested. And then we ran into each other 5 months later, just by chance. And I saw her and I said to her, so you're still dating? She says, yeah. I said, yeah, me too. I thought it was some crazy stories. And I wasn't going to ask her on a date because I didn't think she was interested. That's what my take was. But I thought, well, we should get together and share our dating stories, because it's nice to be able to, like misery loves company. When you have bad days, it's fun to talk about bad days with other people.
Right, right.
So we got
now we only together. Have a few minutes, Greg, left, so we have to shorten the story.
All right, 30 seconds left. We got back together for a second date and or a second get together. At the end of that night, I said, I didn't think this was a date. Is this a date? It kind of seems like a date. He says, well, it wasn't a date when it started. It's a date now. And from that point on, we dated and got married a couple years later.
Oh, what a nice story. Now, you'll have to play this podcast for her on Sunday on your one-year anniversary so she can hear that story. It's always wonderful to hear your partner tell the story of how you met. So that was super. Thank you for sharing that, Greg. And thank you so much for joining me. I feel that volunteering in a community is so important, not only to the community, but to individuals. And it has so many benefits. So thank you. What a wonderful discussion.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I like talking about it anytime I get a chance. So, call me back in a couple minutes. We'll keep it going.
You bet. Sounds great. And listeners, if you want to connect with Greg Martin, you can visit his website at greg-martin.org or follow Draw on Facebook and Twitter at Draw Buckets or look at the website drawbuckets.org. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here always to help your relationships be the best they can be. So, listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.